here. I was going to get real animated and jump around a lot, but I'll have to stay put, you know. Hebrews 11 talks about faith, the chapter of faith, and one verse makes it very clear what pleases God. It says, you must believe that he is, and that he rewards them that seek him. In the world we live in today, I think more people believe in God, even though it's we can't see him. He is spirit. We are spiritual beings, but we're tethered to this physical realm. But because of faith, more and more people believe in God and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior than ever before. But that's only part of the verse. We can believe in God, but then it says he rewards them that seek him. We've got to know the intent of his heart for us. I think that's where the enemy gets in and disrupts a lot of lives of believers. They believe in God, but they don't know his heart for them. We live in a world that's very troubled. And, of course, the more that goes on, the doomsday prophets rise up and say this and that and the other. And, you know, someday you're bound to be right. If you prophesy there's going to be an earthquake, someday there will be an earthquake, you know. But I'm really leery of fear-based theology. People can become very enmeshed in their doctrines, but if fear is at the bottom of it, they're not being led to the presence of God. They're not growing spiritually. They're just waiting for something to happen. And the world we live in with all the troubles and ills, I mean, it's easy to say, well, the end is near. They've been saying that in the first century. They were saying that when Nero was crucifying the Christians. How much worse does it get than that? I'm saying that we should not have a fear-based theology. God is love. Amen. I'm not going to try to predict events. I think that people that get caught up in that are being pulled away from what's really important, and that is experiencing a deeper relationship with the Lord. Amen. What we should be focused on is, where is his presence? How real is his presence to us? So the first thing, believe that God is. That's not an issue. But do we know his heart? He rewards those that seek him. His intent toward us and toward people, toward humanity, is one of love. God is good. Life is not always good. What we go through is not always good. And we tend to evaluate life through the tree of knowledge, good and evil. This is good, this is bad. But no matter what we go through in life, we can't understand why things happen the way they happen. The intent of God's heart is always good and loving toward his people. And if we come into that reality and believe that, something happens to us. It's just a step beyond faith. Faith is something that is God-given. Romans 12:3 says, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So first of all, we need to recognize that God puts it in us. Then faith is our response to what he puts in us. But this morning I want to talk about trust. Trust is developed over time. You can believe in God, but trust is when you come to know his heart and you know that his heart is good for you. God is good. And that's what helps our trust in him to grow, and that is such an important thing. Maturity can be defined that way. Spiritual maturity is a growing trust in the goodness of God. Amen. When Moses was exposed to the presence of God, this is Old Testament times, the people of Israel said, we don't want to see God, we're afraid we're going to die. What did he see? What was he exposed to in Exodus? The goodness and the compassion of the Lord. That's something so important. That's why the more real his presence is to us, the more real to us the intent of his heart's going to be. And although life can be unfair, we can look at God and say, I trust you. You are fair. The garden, Genesis 3, this is how the devil got into the picture. How did he impact Adam and Eve? Remember, Adam and Eve had communion with God. They were created in the image of God. They didn't have to try hard, do anything. There was just that fellowship. The devil didn't tell Eve that God doesn't exist. Why? Because that lie wouldn't have been effective. Eve knew God existed. She was in fellowship with God. But what did the devil do? Hath God said? Should you really not eat of that tree? He told you you're going to die, but you're not really going to die. You're going to be like him. What was the devil doing? He was trying to get Eve to question the intent of God's heart. Hey, Eve, God's hiding something from you. He told you one thing, but it means something else. So if you eat of this tree, you're going to be like him. And all of a sudden, that part of us that is constantly going to do the work of the cross, that independent self-will comes in. Eve does something to be like God that's independent of his spirit. Again, what was the devil's tactic? Not to question that God existed, but to get Eve to question God's motive toward her and Adam. Where did this knowledge lead them? It says they realized their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. They used fig leaves to cover themselves. The result of their knowledge was shame and withdrawal from God's presence. Remember, they were hiding from God. See, knowledge without God as center is not going to lead us into life. Knowledge without the experience of his love doesn't lead us into life. So we're ever learning. That's why that scripture says ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's always got to be centered in him. We find that they were naked and they were ashamed. And God, of course, questions them and says, who told you you were naked? Our human condition is one of being naked. We don't like that, right? It's embarrassing, right? You're not going to walk outside naked. You're going to be embarrassed and probably get arrested too. Put somewhere you don't want to be. But being naked is not the problem. Our human condition is not the problem to God. It's the shame that's attached to it. It's the shame that gets us to withdraw and say, because I am human, I cannot be pleasing to God, and causes us to withdraw from his grace and presence. That was the result of not knowing God, the intent of God's heart. Shame came into the picture. It says love covers a multitude of sins. Do you realize the love of God covers us completely in all our humanity, our human experience, ups and downs, weaknesses, strengths, when we sin? I mean, the whole picture of your life, things you like to see, things you want to hide from, God's love is a covering. But God's love does not cover up for our sins. And what happens is when we don't know the love of God, we hide from our weaknesses. We hide from the things we're ashamed from. And in doing that, we are hiding from his presence. It's so important to go back to Psalm 51 when Nathan confronted David about his sin. David was able to own up to it. Love was able to cover that sin, but David was not able to cover up for the sin. He had to face what he had done. So the more we come into this experience of God's intent and trusting God, the more open and transparent we're going to be. We're not going to be afraid to be honest before him. We won't be hiding from his presence. Amen. We'll be seeking his presence more than ever. Deuteronomy 1:31 and 32 says this: the Lord your God carried you just as a man carries his son in all the way that you have walked. But for in all this, you did not trust the Lord your God. Okay, get a picture of this growing trust now. What does it mean when we're trusting God? Our awareness changes. Israel was carried by God as a father carries his son. But that was not what they were aware of. They were aware of it. We're in a strange land. This is hard. They were complaining. They weren't aware of the reality that someone was carrying them through that journey. When we doubt God's intent of love toward us, and that trust factor is affected, like it was with Eve, that's where distrust started, right there in the garden, we lose awareness of God being with us. We sang a song today about Emmanuel, God is with us. We need to know that. I mean, we live in a world that is chaotic and troubling. And I got news for you. I don't think God wants us to escape from this world. Jesus said you're going to be in the world, but not of it. What does it mean not to be of it? It means our awareness is somewhere else. When trust is growing, we become aware that God is carrying us. Like it says here, in all the way that you walked.
Amen.
Every day, your mistakes, your successes, God's presence never leaves you. That's how committed he is to you. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. This is from the Message Bible. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do. He's the one who'll keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. When we trust, our minds are renewed. We're able to make that transition where our minds, our carnal mind, doesn't lead our awareness, our lives. This need to figure everything out, it can be an obsession. It can rob you of your joy and your peace. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to figure it out. That's not what God allows us to do. But what's the answer for that? Trust. Trust in the Lord. Listen to his voice. When there's that trusting attitude, we're more open to hear what he has to say. And although our minds may not know what's going on, we look at God and say, I can't figure out why this has happened. You know, we all, as we grow older and go through life, we've got to deal with disappointments, unanswered prayers, answered prayers. Sometimes, you know, I remember I was complaining about something, and the Lord opened my eyes to see. He goes, I did just what you asked me to do. Problem is, I didn't know what I was asking for. We have all kinds of problems in our thinking with God's presence moving in our life. But we can be freed from this need to figure everything out and find that peace and rest that comes from trusting in him. What deepens our trust is experiencing his love. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, we can think of it as, they spoke in other tongues and as all this power. But two verses, 1 John 4:8, God is love, God is spirit. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was an outpouring of God's love into their lives. It wasn't just a power that they went on, you know, that he used, and of course there was great power being manifest. But they were overwhelmed by a sense of being loved and accepted. That's why the early church functioned the way they did. Why would people sell all their possessions and give to those in need and just share everything in common? It wasn't because someone brought a teaching saying this is what we got to do. They were so filled with the love of God that there was just no room for selfishness. They didn't care. Earthly goods, this, that, and the other. They were freed from a lot of the worries. And because of the experience of love, they lived together in that communal environment. We don't need to copy the pattern. We need the experience of Pentecost, explosive power of God's love. We need to be baptized and filled with that love to what overwhelms us. In Luke 11, it says, I like this, that's the chapter that deals with ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it'll be opened. We think about all the things that we want from God. It says, following that, the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him. Now, before that, it's talking about, well, if you ask for bread, will you get a scorpion? It says, you know, how God gives good things to his people. If earthly fathers, we give good gifts, how much more will our heavenly Father? So immediately my mind goes to all the things I feel I need. But what does he say here? He'll give the Holy Spirit when you ask him. God knows something we don't know. What we really need as human beings is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be more real in our lives. The answer is not out there. It's not in the circumstances. It's not in the externals. The more of the Holy Spirit that we can experience, the more the Holy Spirit's real to us, we have peace, joy, righteousness. That's what God wants to pour out. One last thing. In John, it says, 16:13, he is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. As we experience more of the Holy Spirit, the love of God becomes more real to us. And what does love do? It deepens our trust in Him. The Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. The truth is not only that God is, but that God loves who He's created. He loves humanity. He loves us. Now, we can look at that and say, well, I know my Bible says it. I believe it. But for God to make that a revelation to our hearts, where you personally know His intent is always good toward you, that's the Holy Spirit that's got to lead you into that truth in revelation. I think the impact we're going to have on this world is going to be far greater as this changes internally within the body of Christ. Not just faith in God, but that faith flowing through us because we know the goodness of God and we're established in that reality. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning, Father. Ask that your Holy Spirit make these words live. Deepen our trust in you. In this hour where the world is growing darker, the light of your presence in us is to grow brighter and brighter. Amen.